Go ahead and record now. We are recording.
Perfect. Thank you. So at 2:05, we're going to call the Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group, May 6, 2021, to order. Our first order of business is just to go through each agency, make sure we've got a seating voting member. So for Deep and Pura, I see Doug Hoskins is on. DESP and Demitz, we've got Doug Locke on, correct? Yep. Okay. DPH, I know Lori's not on yet, but hopefully she will be joining us. OPM is myself, Martin Heft. And Department of Agriculture, is Steve Anderson on? I did not see him.
Yep, he's here.
Is he here? Okay. Just can't see him on my screen, so that's why I asked. Okay, so we do have a quorum. So the first order of business is the minutes of the March 4th meeting. We had no April meeting, so we have our March 4th, 2021 approval of minutes. Can I get a motion and a second?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion, changes, corrections? Terrific. All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, terrific. Then that is done. Oops. Sorry, the pen stops working. That's not a good thing. Under business then, we'll move along and going to do a DPH presentation of a pilot drought data portal. I'm going, Eric, you've got them to be able to share screens or?
Yes.
Is Steve taking that on?
Yes. So Steve, are you all set and ready to present today?
Yeah, I have the portal open. I clicked on share screen and it said host disabled participant screen sharing.
Let's see. See if I can fix that. All right. Does anyone know how to enable screen sharing?
The host has to do it, and if you go through, it's one
okay,
of the.
Okay, I got it. Yep, I found it. Steve, try now.
Okay. Let me see. Okay. Hopefully you can see that. Wait, I got to click share. Okay.
There we go.
You can see, right? So this is, so part of getting Office 365, we now have access to SharePoint, which allows us to do a whole lot of stuff. And in this case, we began the design of a drinking water or not a drinking water, but a drought portal initially to kind of hold our information. But as we dove further into it, it really became apparent that this would be a great site for collaboration with the rest of the IDW. And so I began this process probably September of last year. And this is what has come of it. So there's, when you come in, so, just about everybody who is in the IDW and is a state worker, and I think I allowed John Mullaney in as well, but everyone should have access to this site, and I can send out a link so that people can actually get to this site and see the information in this site. So the first page is drinking water related, and these happen to be the reservoir capacities. So this is data from our database, and it automatically, I can click a button and it updates all this information into this site. And I have a couple of nice little infographics. And I also included, so this is all the reservoir systems, and it gives a basic information about each system, what their capacity is, what their trend is. You can see that the systems are, 95% of normal as of, interesting. as of the 22nd of this month. And on this side are links to each stage of the draw plan, and I'll click on that in a little bit. And I also created an events calendar for the IDW, which has our meetings, but it could potentially have other meetings or other events or training, things like that can go on the calendar and people can add to that calendar. And then I also added in the county averages. I was thinking, Eric, that you got your information from this site because I hadn't given you that information. So when I saw it on your conditions report, I thought, oh, you got that from the site. I'm hoping that's true. And it was easy. Correct. Yeah, and it gives you by county what the capacity is for each of the reservoirs within that county, reservoir systems within that county. And then this one, even though it's blank, if there were any systems that had conservation or were in one of their drought stages, they would appear in this one. But obviously we're not in drought conditions, we're in abnormally dry conditions. So no system has any conservation asks or drought stages that are active. So that's why this is blank. But you know, in the middle of summer, this was full of systems with what they're asked for conservation and what stage in their drought plan they were in. And then this is just something that drinking water likes to have, which is days of supply remaining for each one of the reservoir systems. Some of these are a little bit, if you don't know the system, it looks concerning. Oh, they only have 76 days. Well, that's actually normal. They're at 100% normal capacity for this. They're at 100% full, which is their normal capacity for this time of year. So they recharge quickly, but they have a small, they don't use a lot of water. So just know that that can be a bit misleading. But anyways, that's just the front page. So there's different, on the side, you'll see different pieces. These are links to the different components of the site. So in this case, these are the IDW members. And so it has a list of all the different members. You can click on this and see their information or click on it and create an email if you wanted to email them. And it tells you what their role is, what their support, you know, the main ones are the people who are considered the voting members, and then you have support staff. So, you know, if something's incorrect there, let me know and I can update it, or you can come in and update it. I can show you how, but at least you'll know who is here and you can contact them if you needed to contact them. This is a current condition. So this map actually draws directly from the U.S. Drought Monitor website. And so this is the current map. And as you'll see, we're in abnormally dry conditions for the majority of the state, except for a little sliver of New Haven County and the south kind of western part of Fairfield County. But it also has other pieces and parts. So including the drought severity index is in here, crop index. And then this is our website. So you can come in and see our website, find agenda, meeting minutes. Those are actually part of this site as well. I have a documents library that holds all of this information. And then kind of little quick links. If you want to go to see US Drought Monitor, you click here. If you want to go to the Northeast Dews website, you can click there. Veggie Dry, the EDI, the Evaporative Drought Demand Index, which is a good index. And then US Stream Flows, and then the USGS Water Dashboard are all linked in here. So you can just come in here and click there if you needed to go somewhere. This is the list itself, which holds all the information that you saw on the front page. But it's just here if you wanted to see all the details in one place. Again, this is the conservation tracking, which, you know, at the time, these are no longer true because there is no drought stage. So that's why you didn't see them on the list, but this is on the front page, but this is actually part of what was there. That's the days of supply remaining. So I'm going to go jump ahead to the documents library. So these are all the documents that are related to drought that I have since 2016, I believe. And so you can come in here and you can look at the different components. There's a preview of what it is. Like, this is the drought plan
the 2018 adopted drought plan. But there are easier ways to kind of look around if you wanted to look just at circular letters for 2020. I have a view that shows you all of DPH's circular letters issued in 2020. You can also do a filter. So when you come in here, you can see the different filters and actually filter down what you wanted. If you wanted to see the IDW agendas, you'll see them here. Say you only wanted to see the ones from 2016. Apparently we didn't have any. No, I haven't added those ones yet. And the 2020 agenda items are in here. You can also find the minutes. I also have the minutes in here. So real simple way of getting to our documents and finding them and finding the document that you're looking for. So you have access to it. You can download documents. You can upload documents, add in the pertinent information so that we can do some filtering. So it's just a way of housing all the information we have, all the documents we have in one central location so that we're not all trying to search for it somewhere, you know, wherever it's located and whoever has it. So it's a great place to centralize all of our documents. Like I said, there's an IDW calendar, which has our meeting for today, which is right there, and our meeting for next month, which is right there. So if you wanted to enter some information in here, maybe you had a drought workshop, you wanted to add information into here, you could do that. So just a great way to kind of collaborate with all of our different information. I took what John, I think it was John Mullaney, sent us. Actually, this is something that I put together if it comes up. So this is a well comparison for different parts of the state from 2016 to 2020. So you can see the different droughts. You know, here's the 2016-2017 drought. Here's the 2020 drought. And you can see it's for the location in Scotland. And there's actually, if you click on this, it goes to waterdata.usgs.gov, where you can see the actual tables or the graphs that are being shown here. And I did it for a whole bunch of wells across the state. And then this is what John Mullaney sent us at one point, and I kind of took it and put it into this kind of format where you could see the different streams and the stream flows with a graph. But that's just an example of what you can do with this site and with a list. And then I added in here, which is, we had talked about what are the different needs for, you know, we just went through a 2020 drought, what items, what actions, what parts of the drought plan are being identified as need improvement or what we need to add or what actions we need to, you know, think about doing or doing. This is sort of a list of just, here's the information being put in one location with a way of describing what the tasks are, who's responsible for it, and, you know, what's the current status of that. So it's kind of a tracking of what actions we're doing, you know, in between kind of droughts. So, but that's basically it. It can have a lot more stuff. I haven't developed anything further, but I can if people have ideas. My idea is to add in other agencies' information that they feel is relevant and have it all be in a central location. So if anyone has any questions, I can take those questions.
Well, I'll first just start as a thank you. This is a great system that's been set up, and I was fortunate to look at this over the past month and everything, kind of get a preliminary look at all of this for what it is. And it's a great thing, Steve, of putting everything into one location to be able to get the documents, to be able to have the public be able to look at something and be able to say, okay, here we are with this. And it's a great thing. And I've actually mentioned to Steve previously that this is great for a lot of other applications throughout, you know, the state of Connecticut, not necessarily, you know, so this could be a, you know, almost a pilot. platform, if you will, that, you know, we start using and then other agencies could roll out with it in these different areas and just, you know, with the use of everything. And so I think it's a great, you know, tool for us to be able to utilize.
Yeah, exactly. And I forgot to go through the drought plan. So there are links to the different sections of the drought plan. So I added in the tables. If you go through the drought plan, you'll see in each stage, you'll have the criteria and then you'll have the actions. And I just forgot to go through that, but that's in here as well. So if you wanted to see at stage two, what, you know, public outreach and education we needed to be doing, you know, so we as the state agencies would be in here and we would look at this and here's what we're asking of local officials as well as the water supplier. So I just wanted to go back to that because I forgot to put that in there. But this is the stage criteria that we have in the drought plan, and each one of them has that criteria. And I kind of changed the color a little bit to darker shades in the criteria where extreme drought is in red. So, but I appreciate that, Martin. You're right. So anytime you have a team, so if you had a team created, you have a short SharePoint site that is associated with your team. And it's somewhat simple to set up and do the things that you want to do with it. This one's sort of a little bit more complex, a lot of background kind of programming things, but for the average user, a SharePoint list can be created and it can include calendars and document libraries and lists. If you have something in an Excel spreadsheet, it can go into SharePoint very easily and be tracked and color coded and things like that. So I agree with you. This is a platform that we should start really investing time and putting time into it and moving things forward, because this is meant for collaboration of a team or a work group or a committee or whatever. So.
Yeah, Steve, this is Doug. That kind of leads into my main question as to how this might interface with our existing Connecticut Drought website. This strikes me more of a collaborative, private, if you will, website that is accessible only to people who, first of all, have the SharePoint address, I suppose. It's not public now.
Right.
Right. So,
right.
And just like you said, it has the one of the benefits is that it has a collaborative working software where we can update and do draft white papers, et cetera. But I'm wondering if it might have information that we don't want to have public facing at this point. For instance, the identified needs section, and whether or not it can be used to sort of leak into our existing public website.
So, right, so this right here is for us to use. However, there are ways. So Microsoft has said that, say, a list in here, you can use the list and say for reservoir capacities, we can take this list and through, without being really too technical, but through software, you can add it in an HTML fashion to an outfacing website so that the information is displayed but cannot be changed or accessed in any other way. So as this part is our interface, but there is the ability to take the data you see on the screen and move it out to an outward facing public web page. So that's really the next step. And honestly, that's beyond my technical knowledge. So I'm hoping as one of our actions that we can get maybe someone, I don't know if OPM has access to people who are really good at building these kinds of website and accessing data through, I believe it's the API coding to
pull the data from this list and display it on an outward facing drought portal for like ct.gov. So it is capable of doing that. I personally don't know how to do that. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's according to what Microsoft says. I don't know how hard it is to do, but it's someone who has that knowledge should be doing that. I don't have that knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, this is Martin again. I, you know, agree that that is, you know, one of the things we talked about preliminary as well before today's presentation was to make sure that if, you know, if we are going to put any of this public facing, that it is each agency that obviously is submitting the information needs to double check to make sure that their information is something that is public versus, you know, that needs to be, you know, kept private for whatever reasons by statute, freedom of information, whatever other reasons for that. So obviously that's part of a review process that needs to happen before we make certain information, you know, available. Obviously, like our events calendar, the actual drought plan itself, certain things like that, there's no issue with because those are already public. It's just putting them into a different format and everything. But I think that is, you know, the next step, you know, in the process.
Yeah, because it would be great so that I don't have to upload a PDF of some kind with all of our, you know, reservoir stuff that we do. It'd be easier if I just update this and it's updated on the website automatically because it's just drawing the data from this list. I don't know, Martin, if you have anybody at OPM who knows how to do that.
I don't know. Well, we can also check through DAS Best and everything else, you know, where IT people are, you know, as well as, you know, our team that does IT. So we can do, you know, some checking on that through the proper people. I won't, you know, commit anybody individually, but, you know.
yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But obviously that would be the, you know, part of the next steps is, you know, working with, you know, our state agencies, you know, especially through, you know, with DAS and BEST and everything there, if they have someone, or if we have someone within, you know, our agency or someone else has one, someone within their own agency that could do that, you know, obviously we could start talking with them in that and see how that will proceed.
Excellent. I'll just jump in to say, based on past experience trying to get website assistance and some of the coding and things done, we will likely go for a number of months before we have anything quite so automated. So it'll be critical to do what we can to maintain, whether even if it's a monthly generation of a PDF, we're going to need to do that for the foreseeable future. I can't imagine that we're going to be able to automate this in any kind of reasonable time frame, in part because of the privacy issues. I suspect we'll have to go through, if you haven't already, Steve, we'll probably have to go through DPH Council and have them review, you know, every different thing that you have in the SharePoint and tell us which of these things are allowed to go public, you know, to a public facing site. So it's a good long-term objective, but I think, you know, for a number of months, we're going to be doing it the old fashioned way.
Yeah, that's fine, Bruce. I don't mind doing that as far as, you know, providing that PDF monthly. That's perfectly acceptable. And I agree, have it go through what we have here. Most of this information is stuff that's already out there. So I'm not too concerned about it, but we can definitely go through DPH legal office to see if there's any issues with it. And in the short term, this can be used and should be used as a collaborative location for IDW members so that we can start, you know, adding documents in here that are drought related. If others, so a lot of the
navigational links you see on the site, if agriculture has something they want to put in there, if there are, Demis wants to add anything, we want to add what Doug sends out, we can add that as a page, versus sending out an email, you just know it's in here. So there's a lot that can be done here just as a collaborative software package.
Yeah, I agree. And I think where I was going with this is that I think we'll have time to do a lot of work on bringing in links and people giving some thought as to what they would like, as far as getting things like the long-term projections from National Weather Service. You know, we can bring links to those things, 14-day QPFs and whatever, and we can take our time to bring them in. And then when we do reach the point that we get some assistance with the website, it'll all be ready because the IT person or whoever that's going to be helping with the website stuff, they won't want to be sitting around waiting for us to decide what to bring over. We will hopefully have it all figured out on the SharePoint by then.
Right. I agree. And people can reach out to me if they need help with things. I'm more than happy to help them navigate this, go over any content they might want to add to it. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if you have any issues with that kind of procedure or if we have to have some kind of more formal process, but I'm willing to do whatever.
No, that's terrific. Does anyone else have any questions regarding just kind of what's been presented here? Okay. Hearing none. Steve, thank you very much for this. This is great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's
click some video back on now that we're not on a shared screen. Give me one. There we go. Terrific. So I think next steps with that is obviously check some of the legal, making sure that everything that's on there, between each agency that has something posted, that it's appropriate to be on for public facing. Obviously, we can use it internally. For that, and Steve, you can work, and I believe it's already gone out to the different agencies for who would be responsible for putting information in there and everything else, but we can do that separately so we can make sure everyone has the proper links to be able to start using that platform, kind of coinciding with how we are doing it currently as well. So it's kind of a double thing that has to happen for a while, as Bruce was mentioning, as we're still trying to work through everything. Terrific. With that, I'm gonna move on to B, and if Eric, if you can call up the document for our current conditions. Typically we pop up the kind of our chart for where we are at. I know you have it kind of triggered on the stage two drought trigger summary, and then we can have kind of just take a quick look at that for the month end summary and go through anyone that needs to add any additional information to their submitted reports. And Eric,
I believe we are up.
Yes. Yeah, Eric, do you want to just quick kind of go over what you've got there?
Yeah, just a brief overview. You can see all of our standard drought indicators listed. The ones that stand out in light to dark orange are our two of them in particular, the veggie dry and the fire danger, are our two most flighty indicators. We expect those to, especially this time of year, when we still trying to get leaves on the trees, we can easily dry out the ground. That's why fire danger goes from high to low and back to high again, seemingly almost every day. Veggie Dry, same thing. It's that's a weekly indicator, but it's also a very flighty indicator. So we're seeing, you know, some areas that where we got the most precipitation recently, we're looking okay. Other areas, if it's dry for even a short time, we can start to show up on the Veg Dry. Then you look at our long-term indicators. Most of them are doing okay. We're starting precipitation, not counting what recently fell the beginning of May. So we did have quite a bit of precipitation already in May, but counting only through the end of April, when you look at the two-month look back for April and March, we are on the cusp of that first threshold for, you know, 65% of normal for some counties. Groundwater looks to be mostly okay in terms of the 2 out of 3 month trigger. Same thing with stream flow, except for a few areas. Stream flow seems to be in northeastern Connecticut in particular has seen the worst performance. Groundwater, the worst performance has been in Litchfield County. And there's, you know, I'll let John Mullaney speak a little more to that perhaps, but we tend to have certain wells that are a lot more flighty than others for various reasons, and partly due to the substrate that the well is in, whether it's bedrock or till, but there could be other factors as well. Reservoirs are looking great. Palmer drought crop moisture coming down a little bit, but not getting to our threshold. And U.S. Drought Monitor has, where most of the state is in D0, which is the first, the abnormally dry condition on the U.S. Drought Monitor. For our purposes, on stage two of our drought plan, we really look at, you know, when the drought monitor is getting up to the next stage of D1 to D2. So that's the high-level overview.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Anyone have additional information they'd like to add in from their submitted reports or anything, questions on a particular piece? Quiet group today, or everyone's muted and we're not unmuting you. Okay. excuse me. Well, with that then, if there's no discussion on what kind of is presented here and what's been sent out, we kind of move down then to any recommended course of action. And there has been some discussions, at least with OPM and my team, about consideration of just because of where we are, you know, in spring and coming out of the winter and last drought, is that we consider putting the state into a stage one, just as the advisory on this, to kind of alert people and just, you know, going through that way. There's no, you know, as we know from the plan, that we don't have, you know, major actions, you know, per se that go in there. But that's a consideration that we can consider today, you know, if we want to do that, not knowing how the rest of the month, you know, we know that next, you know, couple of weeks of what rainfall is supposed to be and where, you know, we are currently. But obviously, as a notification system out, we don't want to all of a sudden have to jump into a stage two in an area without ever having been in a stage one, you know, for that. So that's just, you know, kind of something to open up discussion with and thoughts on that.
This is Steve Harkey. Based on the conversations in the Northeast Dews listserv, you know, they're beginning the process of removing a lot of the drought, drought criteria that's on the map from New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. I believe Rhode Island went from a D0 to D to nothing. But I think they're really on the fence as far as whether they want to see us in D0 or not. the rainfall that has been received recently is pretty good. Before it, we were probably an inch and a half, like Hartford County was probably an inch and a half or more, you know, below normal for the year. And hopefully this has added, has brought us up to more normal conditions. If you look at stream flows that are current, they're pretty good. We'll see what happens probably in the next week or two to see where it comes, you know, where it settles after, you know, the storms have passed. The 8 to 14 day outlook looks like it's above normal precipitation, has a higher probability for above normal precipitation. So that is in our favor, and below normal temperatures. So that is in our favor as well. So me personally, I would say it's a wait and see kind of thing, and give it a couple more weeks and see what happens. Because I honestly think that with what we're seeing next, maybe not next week, but the week after, depending on what happens with precipitation, we may be out of D0. And I think if we jump the gun on it, and then they're out of D0, well, you know, are we in the right place with the first stage? So that's sort of my two cents on it.
Okay. Nope, that's terrific. Thank you. Other thoughts?
I would agree with him. This is Doug from Demis. Looking at the rainfall and temperature regime over the next 2 weeks, I think we would be jumping the gun if we went to an advisory, because we could find ourselves in D0 2 weeks from now. So I'd say give it a few more weeks, maybe a month, and take another look.
Okay, that's fine. Obviously, this is the whole part of us meeting and reviewing everything and get everyone's thoughts and, you know, on this. So is there anything else? Okay. So at this point, from kind of what I'm hearing, at least, is that, you know, we'll take no recommended course of action at this time. And we will then move on to the next item. Thank you, Eric, for sharing that screen and everyone for getting your information into all of us. Excuse me. So the next item on the agenda is an update on the Municipal Drought Liaisons Outreach Plan. Eric, I don't know if who's taking that is Bob Kennedy. Bob, are you on?
Yeah, Martin, I'm here.
There you are. Okay.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm kind of multitasking here.
Join the crowd.
Yeah, I know, right? Eric and I have had some communications, and we had a drafted communications go out to the water coordinators or the drought liaisons, and that was reviewed by a small group and got the green light to do that, and that was sent out yesterday. Through the five regional offices. And this office maintains the master list of those drought liaisons. And part of that message was also to update that liaison if it's changed. And as we get kickbacks, I told the other coordinators to work with the emergency management director to identify a new water liaison, a drought liaison, and then provide that information to our office, and we'll update the master list and keep it current.
Terrific, thanks. Can you just do a quick little thing of what was in the letter, just so everyone's aware of it, you know, just a quick little bullet point thing or something, you know, of just a couple of topics or whatever else. Thanks.
Yeah. So the general gist of it was, it just was a communication went to the drought liaisons, indicated that Demis does maintain a list of the liaisons, and that they will hear from us as messaging is created, really through this group, through the interagency drought work group. And it gave an explanation of what the municipal drought liaison's duties or roles and responsibilities are, about monitoring local conditions, educating the water needs of the community and local environment, being in tune with local resources most susceptible to drought, including fire suppression ponds, local agriculture, river streams, work closely with public water suppliers, work with local boards and agencies such as conservation, wetlands commissions, or local law enforcement emergency responders to respond to drought conditions and enforce water use restrictions as may be necessary. So it basically kind of revisited what their responsibility is and why they're getting a communication from us, and that this is kind of the battle rhythm that they'll see is coming out of the Demis office will be the message from the drought work group.
Perfect. Thank you very much for doing that. And I know I mentioned it at Water Plan Council meeting. We're going to be doing that. And, you know, something I think that's kind of a good thing to do on an annual basis, you know, whether we're in drought or not, it's kind of that update. And with that information just on an annual basis is great to do, especially, you know, in the springtime as we're could be, you know, approaching those things. So that's great. And plus to make sure we get any updates. So thank, you know, you and the team that all worked on that to get that out to all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we could revisit that also with the emergency management directors when we have our meetings with them. And in addition, we'll bring this up at the statewide ESF 12 energy and utilities work group meetings when we reconvene those after July 1. Secondary, some pending dockets that are open with PIRA. We don't want to have any more conversation about energy utilities until those are all resolved. But
perfect.
That's where we are.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions on that?
Martin, Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
No questions to Rob, but just a parliamentary procedure call here. I don't think we did a formal vote on deciding on drought stage.
No, correct, Doug, because we had no motion to make any recommended course of action.
Okay.
No, we don't have, if we're, you know, we had no vote on the floor, if you will, to change, to go to a stage one. We had discussion on it, but there was no motion to, you know, take any action. So
I see. Okay. So
we had discussion on it and I had said this was a thought process, but you know, there was no motion on the floor.
Understood. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Nope. But thanks for the clarification. So that way no one's, you know, caught off guard saying, well, gee, you could discuss it, but you didn't vote on it. But yeah, that's why. Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Nope. Thank you. Okay. Then next on the agenda is a report on recommendations for edits to Connecticut Drought Preparedness and Response Plan. Eric, do you want to touch base on this with a smaller group that you've been working on with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working with a small group of volunteers from our fellow agencies, a few of our fellow agencies here. We were tasked after the March meeting of this interagency drought work group with taking the sort of brainstormed original list of recommendations or thoughts on what worked versus what needs improvement on the drought plan and sort of teasing those out into what's easily implemented in a quick update versus what's going to take a little more time for a more robust update and prioritizing those. We had an initial meeting on that to start working through that, but we are not at a point where we can really bring together a full list of teased out recommendations for two reasons. One is we haven't met enough times yet to go through on our own. But secondly, and probably more importantly, is that we are waiting for a parallel effort to conclude through the State Water Plans Implementation Work Group. And some of you may be aware that the Implementation Work Group has a sub work group that has for some time, probably going on a year now, probably too long, been tasked with reviewing the response to the 2016 and 2017 drought and recommending changes and improvements to processes and the drought plan itself. So we thought that because that sub work group is right on the cusp of finalizing their report and their recommendations, that it would be probably more appropriate to just hang on a little longer, wait for that report to come out, and then build on that report once it's out, once we've had a chance to review it and everyone can look at it, then we could really take that and move it forward with our recommendations following last year's drought. So that's where our thought process was. And so we're asking for a little more time to get that report from the subwork group and then move forward on recommending changes.
Great. Thank you, Eric. And that report, from the Water Planning Council meeting on Tuesday this week is supposed to be out this upcoming Tuesday that we were told they're meeting to kind of finalize everything. So that should be within the next week or so to get that report from them. Great. So any questions on that? And obviously anyone that has any other thoughts regarding, you know, changes that we should make to the plan, everything else, please get in touch with Eric on those if you have not already. You know, if there's something else that you think of that we need to review and make sure that gets put in there. And obviously this will be on the agenda as we are continuing moving forward, you know, as we get back, you know, those couple reports there and be able to start and look all those over, you know, wholly together.
I know with me, sometimes I'm just laying in bed at night and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it'll just pop into my head out of the blue. Wow, this would be great if we change this in the drought plan. Sometimes I think to write it down, other times I don't, thinking I'll remember the next day, which I inevitably don't remember. But whenever that happens, if it happens to you guys, then just send me a note and then, you know, I'll compile everything as it's received. But sometimes that happens and you come up with a great idea out of the blue, just send it in.
Terrific. Does anyone else have anything on that they'd like to discuss? Okay, then moving to other business. Steve, I'm gonna put you on the spot for one quick thing. If you wouldn't mind just mentioning that the EPA Connecticut Drought and Water Loss Workshop that's being planned.
Oh, sure. So EPA came to us asking if we wanted to do a drought workshop. They had some money through whatever funding it is. I forget what it is, but they asked us if we wanted to do a workshop and we said yes. So we've had two planning meetings and we're scheduling it for, I believe, sometime mid-September, because that's probably around after the end of September, the funding's no longer available. So we need to do it by September. And that seemed to be a good time frame without too many conflicts of any kind of other water webinars, whatever it is. So there's going to be a two-day conference, probably 4 hours each day, with the first day focusing more on small water systems. And we have some people for the small water systems. I'm trying to remember John Schultz, who's with the Atlantic States Rural Water Association, I believe. He's part of the planning, and I've asked Eric to also be part of the planning. And we're gonna put together a workshop that's one first day is small systems, the next day is larger systems. You'd think that they have very similar kinds of needs, but they actually don't. They're very dissimilar in what they would be wanting to hear from us and what we want. So we're going to have guest speakers that are experts in that field. Some of it's water loss, some of it's rates, doing water rates. The small systems is going to be more towards many of them struggle on drought triggers and drought response. Other things like monitoring groundwater levels, things like that, that you think that they would be really great at. They do tend to struggle on those, according to John. So we're going to focus a lot of that information, like technical review, assistance, resources for small water systems. And then the next day, it'll be the large water systems, focusing on doing water loss audits, those kinds of things, because they're more, you know, having water loss of 10% or 20% or 50%, that's a huge amount of money and water that you're losing and you get no revenue for. So part of that webinar is going to be focused on that. And I think we're going to have some stuff where they can pick and choose which kind of webinar they want to participate in. So, I mean, we're still in the planning stages. We do have some draft agendas done. But it should be really a really good resource for those kinds of water systems.
That's great. Thank you, Steve, for, you know, that update. And I'm sure we'll all be getting more information as that gets progressed and, you know, they get the dates in and everything else for September. But I wanted to make everyone aware that that was in process and going on. So I think it's a great opportunity. Is there any other business that anyone needs to bring up? Okay, then our next meeting is scheduled for June 3rd, same time at 2 o'clock. So that everyone has got that as a calendar invite already. Obviously, if we've got any severe changes in conditions, everything else, we'll get word out and meet earlier if need be. But at that point, we'll see everyone on June 3rd, and it's 2:55. If I can take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? Sure, somebody second it for me.
Okay, second.
Thank you, Doc. Otherwise, Martin, we'll be for a
Martin,
long
can
time.
Can I just say really quickly, just to thank you guys for meeting, even though, you know, things are not, you know, going into drought. I just wanted to thank you for doing this regularly and keeping an eye on things. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciate it. Okay. With that, all in favor for adjournment? Aye.
Aye.
Here, here.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Enjoy the sunshine today.
Yeah. You too.